wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. My subject is two churches, the one Christ and the other Satan's. Of all the religious confusion today, none is more deceiving to minds and destructive to souls than that which concerns the church. Yet in the Bible, there is a clear revelation of the church. We will hear what the Word of God says about the church, and if we will go by the book, we will escape the pits of false doctrine. False doctrine leads to false and worthless hopes. If you are led to believe that your church, through its ordinances and officers, has power to save you, then you will trust in your church for salvation, and this will give you vain hopes, deceiving your precious soul. Remember, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ give us the highest authority on any subject. He only mentioned the church by that name on two occasions. He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Four revelations he made. First, the church belongs to Christ, my church. Second, he is the builder. I will build my church. Third, Christ is the church's foundation. He's the rock on which it stands forever. Fourth, Christ preserves his church so that it is indestructible. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. First, the church belongs to Christ. It is not Paul's church, nor Peter's church. It was Christ who loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible says the church which he hath purchased with his own blood. Who then would dare to call the church by the name of any man or any teaching? The church belongs to Christ, and he is the head of the church. How dare any man to set himself up as the official head of the church, and that all must submit to his supreme authority? Such a usurper is nothing short of an antichrist, whether he is enthroned in Rome, in Mecca, or in Babylon. Our Lord Jesus said, "My church." Who then would dare to steal from him his loved bride, his body, the church? Second, Christ is the builder of the church. He said, "I will build my church." And the Bible adds, "The Lord added to the church the saved ones." He alone can put you into his church. If you hear a preacher say, "I open the doors of this church, come up and join," you can know full well that it cannot be the true church of God, for Christ alone can put you into his church. If our Lord allowed preachers or priests, bishops or deacons to unite to his church, they would put into it religious hypocrites and wicked living pretenders. But in his church there are no hypocrites. All are really born again. For the Lord knoweth them that are his, and none can deceive him. Neighbor, you are living in the age of the church. It began as the Holy Spirit came down from heaven on the day of Pentecost, and the church will be complete and leave here to go back to heaven when Jesus comes again. Neighbor, tell me, are you in the church, the true church that belongs to Christ and which he builds? Has he put you into his church? It matters little whether you're a member of any of man's churches built and named by them and to which they join additions, but if you are not a real member of the church of Jesus Christ, you will perish in the flames. When preachers say you have to join one of their churches to go to heaven, and when they insist that all others are lost, they are deceiving souls. If that were so, then neither John nor Mary, Peter nor Paul, Aquila nor Priscilla, nor any of the Bible Christians would be in heaven, for they never joined any of man's churches. But it is true that if Christ has not received you as one of his own and thus put you as a member into his body, the church, then you are still lost in your sins and in the world that is headed for the falls of everlasting destruction. Don't worry about trying to find your church letter, but examine yourself whether you're a real born-again Christian. Review your history to find when you truly repented of your sins and received Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and he put you into his church, placing his name on you and his Holy Spirit into your heart. Has this been your personal and certain experience? An experience not with a religious altar, but with Christ himself. Not to be received with a preacher's handshake, but to be pressed by the pierced hands of Jesus to his loving breast, to hear him say, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You are mine. No wonder John called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. This love you too can know. Third, Christ is the church's foundation. He is the rock on which it stands forever. When Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Lord said to him, Thou art Peter. His name meant a stone. And upon this rock, that was a different word, signifying the rock from which the little stones came, I will build my church. Peter tells us more about this in his epistle, speaking thus of Christ, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, Christ the rock, the living stone, and he builds us as lively stones into his house, his church. If Peter were to return to earth in our day, he would go up and down the land putting the curse of God on any church that claimed him as its foundation. And while they claim their church is founded on Peter, if Peter were to visit any of their cathedrals, they would kick him out ere he finished his first sermon, for he would denounce all of man's religion with their images and altars, their priests and sacrifices, their purgatory and masses for the dead. For Peter would preach just as he used to preach, saying, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this is the stone that was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The real church is not built on Peter or Paul, but on Christ himself, even as Paul declared, saying, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. Neighbor, be sure you're in the church on the rock, the true foundation, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. Fourth, Christ preserves his church so that it is indestructible. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, said our Lord. The gates were where they met to hold counsel. It was like our Lord saying, even though the devil and all his demons, together with all the organized infidels, shall join hands and plot to destroy my church, yet that true church will survive the arenas with their lions, the Inquisition courts with their tortures, the stakes with their flames, and come through them all in victory. Moreover, the Lord will so defend and preserve his little flock in the midst of wolves that not one of them will be lost. If they are stoned to death, as was Stephen, he will open heaven for them to see his glory and will rise to receive their departing spirits and one day crown them with a victor's crown of life. As a faithful minister of Christ, I must denounce all the worthless claims of the religious world around me and declare that it is Christ who saves and not church ceremonies, and that the real church is not an organization of men, but it is the church which belongs to Christ, which he loves and for which he gave himself, the church which he builds and he preserves. And I call upon you each one to come to him, that with his pierced hands he shall receive you into his church and enroll your name on the heavenly roll. But while the Holy Spirit is gathering in one by one the members of the true church of Jesus Christ, the devil is staging the biggest deceit yet. It is the false church. Read about it in Revelation chapter 16, 17, 18. That's chapter 16, 17, 18. It is seen holding sway over kings, nations, and commerce, and is immensely rich, living in luxury. It is full of abominations and fornications. Its throne is in a city of seven mountains. Rome is that city. It is drunken with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Read the history of the church, as it called itself, in the Dark Ages, with its Inquisition courts and tortures and murders. Its deceit is so great, the very elect of God need to be called out of it, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. This devil's church is gathering into its fold apostate Christendom, once called Protestants, but who no longer protest against pagan rituals and pagan standards of living. The devil's church is a big imitator. The devil is the big imitator of God. So he has enslaved souls around the world with his church. The real church has a head, Christ. So in the devil's church, he has a head and calls him the Pope. And since the words of Jesus Christ are eternal, I will have a papal throne, says the devil, and whatsoever the Pope says in that chair will be like the decrees of God himself. Jesus had his disciples, his apostles and evangelists, but I will have better, says the devil. I will set up a huge organization with priests and nuns, archbishops and cardinals. And since I could not seduce Jesus Christ by offering him the world's riches, I will make my church very rich, so it controls money-making businesses, and it shall have a controlling voice in the governments of earth. And as Jesus asked his followers to remember him by eating the bread and drinking of the cup as a memorial of his death, I will make that Lord's Supper look like nothing before my mass. I will tell people that my church's priests have power to turn a cracker into the body of God. Yes, to being so really God, they will bow in worship to it. And that this mass can relieve their suffering after they die if they pay to have it said for them. And since Jesus sent his disciples to preach forgiveness of sins in his name, and as they so preached, people repented and were forgiven by Jesus, their few converts will look like an anthill to my big mountain, for I will equip the priests of my church with confessional booths and my penance operations and tell people that my priests can thus forgive their sins. And my church will be full of images, not just to remember people of old time, but to be worshipped. I will not call them idols, lest it look too much like the heathen. I will mark all in my church with a cross and a crucifix, and tell them of the good luck and prosperity these will bring them. But I will always have the crucifix with a dead man on it, so they will think that Jesus is dead. And then they will give their worship to my Pope, who is alive in Rome, as the head of my church. Moreover, the devil not only blasphemes Christ by his church set up, but he blasphemes God the Holy Spirit too. Our Lord Jesus told us that the man who blasphemes the Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness. When our Lord Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to take his place. The Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ on earth, the one who could, because he is God, be sovereign over all the work and people of God on earth during the absence of Christ himself. And as the Lord of the harvest, he controls all the Lord's servants. And so the devil sets up his pope in Rome, and that pope boldly and unblushingly declares that he is the vicar of Christ on earth, and that he has divine authority over the church and all the work of God. What blasphemy! Who could more blaspheme the Holy Spirit than such a man? Of such a blasphemer of God the Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus said, he hath never forgiveness. Poor man, never forgiveness in this world, neither in the world to come, said the Lord Jesus. So such a man cannot forgive your sins or help you get to heaven. To trust him would be like trusting the devil himself to take you to God's heaven. Yes, the real church had hardly started before the devil brought out his imitation church. And while the real church is still a little flock and few, as our Lord Jesus described his church, the devil's church is a worldwide multitude with world riches and world domination that's staggering to think of. This apostate church is actually Catholic, that means worldwide, but it is the Roman Catholic Church. Its very name shows that it's dominated and controlled by Rome. It's not Christ-controlled, but it's Pope-controlled. It is the world bowing to kiss the Pope's toe. And even now, the governments show their reverence to the devil's Pope, which is only one step from the devil's Antichrist who is soon to appear. Neighbor, if you are already signed up in the false church, waste no time in coming out of her, for God will soon reward her double for her wicked abominations. As a true witness, I have told you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And now I call upon you to decide. Our Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I will build. Will you now express your decision in those same words and build all your hopes for time and eternity on Christ the solid rock? Building on that sure foundation, the godly life of a true Christian character. If you will, then tell God your decision. Then when Christ has put you into his real church, Seek out those who also love the Lord Jesus Christ and fellowship with them, standing together for Christ. And let every work you do and every path you tread be marked by your decision. Upon this rock I will build. Be a Christ-centered person, living a life separated unto Christ. Contrary winds may blow, and raging storms challenge your faith, as I have battled such for more than a half a century. But remember, our Lord said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And one day we shall rise above all the battlefields of earth, and as our Lord fulfills his word and receives us home to heaven, we shall pass right through the very camp of the devil, shouting, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to his bondservant, David Brinkman.